A new story out of Peru is getting a lot of attention around the globe, and we should warn you, it involves some gruesome details. Peruvian authorities have arrested four people on suspicion of murder. The suspects are alleged members of a gang operating in the Peruvian jungle. Police Commander Ángel Toledo offered more details.
We've broken up a criminal organization dedicated to trafficking bodily tissues, human fat.
That's the gruesome part. The gang is accused of killing people in order to extract and sell their body fat for use in cosmetics. The police dubbed the gang the Pistacos after an ancient Peruvian myth. We asked Harvard professor Gary Urton to tell us more. He traces the myth back to the early days of the Spanish conquest.
It was said that Europeans who came into Peru and came elsewhere into the Andes, that one of the things they were looking for was they were looking for body fat to extract from Indians to be used for cosmetics and various purposes like that. In the present day, ideas about pistacos are very common in the Andean highlands. The pistacos are usually people who are associated with modern life, with machinery, with advanced technology. A pistaco will be a tall man in a leather coat with a felt hat and tall boots and who carries a knife. The pistaco will find an Indian in an isolated place, meet him on a trail, for instance, cut his head off, and extract the body fat. The stated reason for this is usually in some way to oil the machinery of industry. So for grease for airplanes or automobiles or various things that usually are associated with the advanced modern world.
And is there a real basis in the original stories? I mean, it just sounds like your worst kind of fear, and that it would serve some function about fear and strangers as a story. But was there a reason that this story began in the first place?
Well, I think you make a very good point, is that it spoke to a time when native people were in fact being severely abused by foreigners, when their land was being taken, when they were being pressed into service for this colonial project or that, when they were being killed also outright, and when diseases were rampant through the country. And it is, I think, probably from early colonial times to the present day, a general set of beliefs saying be careful of what's from outside.
Do you believe the current news story out of Peru?
If you're asking me personally if I believe them, no, I don't believe them. I have heard too many of them in my years. I've lived for some 5 years or so in villages in the Andes, and I've heard them time after time. And every time one tries to track down the truth of one or another story, it always sort of dissolves into the mist of folklore or myth or someone's mischievous or fearful account. To me, there are various things about this that I find very interesting. One is that it's being played up so much by the press. I can understand why it is. I mean, it seems that in Peru that the identity of the bottles of supposed body fat were confirmed by the police. I'd be interested to see those lab reports.
This is pretty loaded, then, to call these defendants pistacos, and yet these are true-life alleged murderers. So what do you do with the real part of the story?
Well, I guess that's where I would want to reserve judgment on the sort of truthful nature of the accounts until we actually learn that these guys did kill 60 or more people and did cut off their heads and their arms and hung them upside down on hooks and drained the body fat out. I would just like to see what we learn over the days and weeks to come.
Now, what's interesting about this story is that it involves Peruvians going after other Peruvians, and the telling of the myth suggests it's usually reserved for strangers and others. What do you make of that?
But remember that when we say Peruvians, there are Peruvians and then there are Peruvians. So the pistaco story has always really turned on the opposition between native, local, so-called Indian people and people from the outside. So although these are Peruvians, I mean, it remains to be determined. I haven't seen these guys or heard them talk or know anything about their personal histories, but I suspect that they're probably mestizos, people who are sort of mixed ancestry and mixed culture. That is, they know something about the countryside, but they're also intimately familiar with urban ways of doing things, that those are also outsiders.
Finally, Gary Artin, I'm just curious about how myths like the Pistaco myth are perpetuated. I mean, is it about these occasional flourishings in contemporary life? Is it that they rear their head once in a while and the story gets retold or reimagined?
Well, I think that to answer that, you would really have to look at stories like this in many different contexts, from those rare contexts like we're living through now, where this very common myth is being told internationally. Here we are talking about it in Boston, to everyday tellings of it and various versions of it in small local communities. I think that the sort of engine of it, let's say, is not the big media event like this, because this will die down, this will go away, and the attention will move somewhere else. But when you go back to the Peruvian countryside, you'll still see that the mother is still concerned with the safety of her child, and one of the most effective tools that she will have at her disposal will be to tell that child, be careful of strangers. They can do these terrible things to you.
Gary Artin is the Dumbarton Oaks Professor of Pre-Columbian Studies at Harvard University. Thanks very much.
Thank you.